say I'm doing great all the time. It's like, you're not looking great. You're ugly. You don't make any money.
Wow, baby, this is good.
And I was like, yes!
You're the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm just darkness.
You are the tunnel.
The look he gave me, he was so disgusted.
We don't go, hey, we won the national title. Good job. Now everybody get your ass back to class. Did I just out myself for having some sort of condition down there?
Some sort of glandular condition. We're just talking.
I like you, but, you know, not that.
You're not in like with me.
I have a girlfriend, man. I'm sorry.
You're not a side scroller.
No.
You're not a...
I'm not a midnight golfer.
All right, welcome to Booze and Basketball, the best of both worlds. And make sure you check out boozeandbasketball.com for all your booze and basketball needs. Mind you, you could go to Facebook, Podomatic, iTunes, Spotify, maybe, I don't know, and wherever podcasts are found. I am joined today by the lovely and talented and well-spoken Mr. Big Time, Ethan Noroff.
Oh, happy to be here. Hope to make it a more regular thing.
This is Jeff Maxwell, a.k.a. Maxwell Stevens, a.k.a. Jack Basketball.
A.k.a. the Big Kahuna.
You may call me Mr. Basketball, if you would like.
All right, we'll work on the Big Kahuna part.
They can't know my last name.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Bagel Bites. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
Better than a Hot Pocket, that's for sure.
Pizza's on a bagel. You can have pizza anytime.
Anytime.
You said we needed a sponsor.
Yeah, well, Bagel Bites is struggling, so I think we could help them out a little bit.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. We got a little draft action. We got a little free agency coming up.
You just finished doing all your Roto-World stuff, writing all your fantasy basketball stuff. What's that like for you now that that's over?
It was pretty hectic around the draft time. It's going to be a little busy once free agency kicks off. We got a little Olympic qualifiers this summer.
Why do you cover that? You don't just focus on fantasy?
Implication of fantasy, man. If Hassan Whiteside comes to the Lakers, which we'll be discussing, by the way, but if Hassan Whiteside comes to the Lakers, his fantasy value changes, doesn't it?
All right, let's just get into that now, damn it.
All right, let's do it. So,
Mr. Noroff really wanted to break down the draft. He is somewhat of a draft guru. The Mel Kiper of basketball, if you will.
With the same hairstyle, might I add.
Oh, man, much better looking. Mel Kiper is an ugly, ugly man.
Well, you know, when you look like a skunk, that could happen.
He does look like a skunk.
You know, I saw one last night at an outdoor wedding. I can confirm. I thought it was Mel Kiper, actually.
Who's that other ugly NFL guy? Clayton. What's his name? John Clayton?
John Clayton.
That's an ugly man.
That is one excellent commercial, however.
And then there's the baseball guy. What's that fat baseball announcer? John Crook.
Believe it or not, he used to be an actual baseball player.
Yes. Jesus. Babe Ruth's son.
Well, you know, baseball's one of those sports where weight doesn't hinder you.
Okay, so why do you feel that basketball has the best-looking analysts?
That's a good question.
Not ugly baseball and football guys.
I am biased toward basketball. However, I do feel as if perhaps some figure skating could enter the picture, as there could be some very good-looking former figure skaters.
Okay. So who's the ugliest basketball analyst if we were playing, high school? If we were back in high school.
Well, that's a tough one for me. I think I focus more on the voice than on the actual face.
Okay, so who has an ugly basketball analyst's voice? I don't like hearing Jalen Rose too much. I don't like looking at him either.
I don't mind Jalen so much. I got a thing, Bill Simmons.
You hate his voice?
I do not like listening to that guy.
Okay, so did you watch his new show on HBO?
I did not.
Jesus Christ, I watched it yesterday. Any Given Wednesday, and it started off interesting enough. He had a great starting topic talking about LeBron bringing a title to Cleveland, which I'm like, if you can't do anything with that in the first week, you gotta lose your show. And so then he does that, and then he talks about a few other things, and he's going all over the place. And then he's a Boston homer, so he had Ben Affleck on there, and
that's worse than listening to Tom Hinson call a Celtics game.
I'm sitting there watching this. And Affleck looks like he's been drinking, and he sounds like he's been drinking. He's slurring his. And I recognize this because all my fans of Booze and Basketball, they listen to this podcast and can tell when I'm gone because I start slurring my words as well.
So let's make clear that we're speaking from experience here.
Game recognized game. And so I'm like, Affleck's drunk. That's it. And it was a terrible interview. I felt bad because I like Ben Affleck. I'm cheering for the guy. And it was just horrible to watch. And then, so I was like, oh, that's an interesting episode. I feel like Ben Affleck kind of ruined Bill Simmons' new show. And then I looked it up, like, they were like, oh, this has a history of happening. There was this guy who, I'm forgetting, Joe Buck? Okay. Do you know who that is? You're a baseball dude, right?
Yes.
He had a show on HBO called Joe Buck Live.
That sounds like something I would never watch.
You never heard of this.
I think I missed that one on purpose.
You know who Joe Buck is.
Very much.
Because Joe Buck, he does, like, color commentary or something announcing.
Excellent baseball announcer.
For who?
In terms of, I believe it's Fox.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So he's still a big deal.
He's still a big deal, but in terms of watching a talk show with him live for an hour or some extended period of time, no thank you.
So this couldn't have been too long ago because it had Jason Sudeikis and Paul Rudd on there.
Oh, that's definitely got to be recent.
But then it had Artie Lang, that dude who's famous for being the non-talented fat guy in a lot of movies. Like, he's not John Candy.
That's sort of a big drop-off between guests.
Yeah. Well, all three of them were together with Joe Buck. It was called Joe Buck Live, so it was live.
Oh, God.
And Paul Rudd and Jason Sudeikis just be real charming dudes. And Artie Lang just starts... I think he's drunk or he's on drugs or he's something. And he just starts going off on everybody and making fun of them all and making fun of poor Joe Buck and saying, like, you're not going to get 4 episodes of Joe Buck Live. And it's true. They canceled it after 3 episodes. And he just ruined this poor dude's show. And Joe Buck sat there and took it.
Well, he's still doing all right.
Poor Jason Sudeikis was he was defending himself pretty well because, Jason Sudeikis is a good-looking, talented guy on SNL. Not going to take any shit from Artie Lang, I imagine.
I would hope not.
But I was like, oh, that's kind of similar. I feel like Ben Affleck kind of ruined Bill Simmons' first show.
Well, I feel like Bill's gotten by on his name for an extended period of time now. Hasn't really put his best foot forward, shall we say.
That's true.
And his analysis is always through green-colored shades. And, it's getting a little tiresome at this point. You know, when you have the same shtick for a while, it's time to pick up a new one.
Isn't that kind of weird? Like, that's not acceptable, right?
You can't
just be a homer for one team while you're trying to give analysis.
That's my main issue with him. I thought anytime I've seen him join an ESPN desk, for example, I thought he was terribly out of place. Perhaps that's why the network let him go. I don't know. I'm not privy to that information. But, people seem to like him. He's still picking up shows. He's still picking up airtime. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea, to say the least. I like green tea. I don't like Bill Simmons.
Okay. Very good. Well done. Well said. I like green tea, too.
It's nice. Nice change up.
Oh, I don't like it cold, though.
I don't mind it cold if it's with the right things, but a hot green tea is
if it's cold, you got to put sugar in it.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe, or sugar sweetener.
Like cold,
a substitute sugar.
I get the cold
maybe
drinks.
Maybe a nice,
I don't make green tea and then put it in the fridge. I drink it hot.
Either is acceptable.
But we also
I would prefer to drink it hot as well.
We live in Los Angeles, so that's kind of hard to do in 110 degree heat.
Yeah.
So we got Bill Simmons out the way.
Now we should talk about Hassan Whiteside.
Was his name coming up during the draft?
Well, his name was coming up because we're getting a little speculation in terms of where he might land in free agency, right?
Whiteside!
We all know the Hassan Whiteside story. This is a dude who's played in the D-League. He's gone to Lebanon. Literally had to go to the YMCA.
$500,000.
Yeah, literally had to go to the YMCA to keep his career alive. Okay,
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Miami plucked him out of the D-League, signed him to a dirt cheap contract, made less than $1 million this year, by the way, just so everybody's aware of that. So he's looking to cash in, right? Miami can offer him 4 years, about $95 million. A team like the Lakers can offer him a whole lot more money.
Why is that?
Because they can offer him a 5-year deal. Hassan Whiteside and the Heat, they only have his early bird rights. So they're structurally bound and contractually bound in terms of what they can offer him. However,
so it's a deal for the first time that screws the team that has him?
Well, they can pitch the angle that there's no state income tax for Florida. So if they want to go that route, they could say, hey, you can make 100 plus million elsewhere, but it's really going to be X. Whereas if you make 95 million in Florida, it's going to be, almost the same number. So they could sit on that boat, but Hassan Whiteside, a guy in his mid-20s who literally had to go overseas and back to the YMCA just to get where he is. You think he's signing for a discount only to maybe be traded later?
Pay that man.
I might explore my options, right? And if you're Hassan Whiteside, you're in your mid-20s.
Top five center in the league?
Oh, easily.
Maybe he's number five?
Best rim protector in the league.
Yeah, but what that doesn't make him the best. You got to be able to put the ball in the basket at some point.
Well, I think he can score, and I think he showed that a little bit.
A little bit, especially
in the playoffs. You know, he stepped out, hit the mid-range jumper even a little bit. His game is expanding, and
he doesn't seem very reliable in Miami. Like with that team, you can't. He's not dependable enough, I guess. But that's because of who's around him.
Well, I think it's just interesting because they have to. This is a big summer for Miami, right? Because you have to determine. Is Chris Bosh going to be a part of your team or not? Is he healthy enough to rejoin this team and actually contribute?
He's done.
Or, you know, how are we going to build this team moving forward? So they're sort of in between right now. But if you got a team like the Lakers and you can join a young core of guys like a D'Angelo Russell, a Jordan Clarkson, a Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, and you can say, hey, I can join a long list of very, very good, talented, great Lakers big men. This franchise is going to throw a whole lot of money at me. They're going to treat me like family. I can live in L.A. in the mid-20s before I turn 30. Make almost $30 million a year and be the guy in L.A. after Kobe, well, that just might be attractive, right? It might not be attractive to some guys, Dwight Howard, you know. I'm not saying anything about you, but it might be attractive to a guy like Hassan Whiteside.
Where is Dwight Howard going?
Hopefully China.
Is that right?
Hopefully.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, maybe take the Michael Beasley
like
route.
Put him on a strap him to a rocket and send him into the sun.
You know, it's going to be an interesting offseason for Dwight. I don't see any way he returns to the Rockets, no matter what they say. Mike D'Antoni's the head coach there. We all know how it went in Los Angeles between those two. Obviously, James Harden and he have issues, whether they want to talk about him or not. And I think Dwight still wants to be the guy, even though I don't think he's capable of being the guy.
Where'd they move Mike D'Antoni?
Houston. He's the Rockets head coach.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you fired Kevin McHale to hire Mike D'Antoni. Excellent job, Daryl Morey.
That's right, man.
So, that's a tough one for me, and I would like to say that Dwight, I think he's going to have fewer options than he really thinks, because who's going to want to pay Dwight the almost $30 million that he's going to want in free agency to be the guy? Can you build a team, a championship contender, around this version of Dwight Howard? Maybe in 2008, we're talking about a different player, right? But in 2016, going to 2017, can you build a true contender around that player in this NBA that's going to smaller basketballs, going to more pace and space in a running game? That's a tough argument for me to make, right? So maybe you got a team like Charlotte, right? Maybe they're interested in a guy like Dwight Howard, okay? Maybe he goes and plays for MJ's team. Maybe you got a team like...
Oh, MJ would love that.
Oh, you know. Maybe you got a team like, I don't know, you know, Milwaukee. If they wind up moving Greg Monroe and they say, hey, Thon Maker's not ready to play yet anyway.
He's not going to be ready to play for about another 80 years, I think.
You know, I think he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. So... you know, I don't know. Dwight's going to have a tougher time than I think he's anticipating. And it could be some team that comes out of the woodwork. How about a New Orleans? If they're able to dump Omer Asik's contract on somebody, maybe they come into New Orleans and say, hey, we don't want Anthony Davis playing the five anymore. He's taking too much of a beating inside. Let's move him out, have him be a four, create a mismatch for everybody and their mom, you know? Mm-hmm. And then maybe he winds up in New Orleans, right? Get a little Anthony Davis, a little Dwight Howard, a little Buddy Hield, maybe a little Drew Holiday. Maybe we got something cooking. Tyreek Evans, if he's healthy. Maybe we got a little something interesting in that mix.
So you mentioned Buddy Hield, and you mentioned, what's his face from the Lakers, Brandon Ingram. And
that is him. I can confirm.
It's interesting because we're sitting here talking about the draft, but we're also not talking about the draft.
Well,
it seems to be one of the things where it was such a, outside of the top two guys, it was such a boring draft that I'm like, no one's making really an impact. It seems to be the things that are impactful around the draft because everyone's organizing themselves around the draft. No one's saying, you know, oh, this your Buddy Hield's going to change the game. They're like, well, it depends. He might be a piece where they bring in some of these big free agents that are coming around here.
And I think for the draft, though, there was so much anticipation for what is Boston going to do with 8 picks in the draft. When are they going to make that blockbuster move? Is this the offseason? Is this the time? And for me, I have a hard time believing that Danny Ainge had some of the offers that he had on the table, reportedly anyway, if he didn't pull the trigger. Because if you're Danny Ainge...
You think Jimmy Butler, like the Bulls even picked up the phone?
Well, I don't think he's getting Jimmy Butler because there's no package of picks and or players that I would take from the Celtics if I were the Bulls to move Jimmy Butler. Because if you're going to give me back Marcus Smart and the number 3 overall pick, and hey, we're going to give you another first round pick on top of that, and to make the money work, we're going to send... I don't know. We're going to send Amir Johnson. Right? I mean, Jimmy Butler is an established two-way superstar who plays an elite position, plays on the wing, is under team control for the next several years. That is a rare, rare thing to have in this NBA. And now with a changing salary landscape, Butler's even more valuable because he's only getting paid right about $20 million a year. So that's not even the full max deal.
All I can think is if Amir Johnson starred in Space Jam 2 and... helped the Looney Tunes take back Toontown, I would still only remember him as that guy who fought the ref for the ball after a free throw that one time.
He really wanted to touch the ball.
He almost killed that referee.
Well, just an Amir Johnson stare can actually break your leg.
And he's not a bad player, but the second I saw that, I was like, you're a knucklehead.
Yeah, there's a lot of those in this league.
No, not really.
I think there is
James
more.
Harden. Hey, okay. Seeing as we keep tiptoeing around the draft, let's tiptoe around again. So, your boy James Harden.
My boy, huh?
Who, when I think of knuckleheads, okay. And you were talking about Houston and Mike D'Antoni, I'm a little offended by this guy who wants to pretend that he's a superstar sitting out of the Olympics. What's up with that? Why are you looking at me like that right now?
He carried the load on his back for this team this year.
Right? Into a losing.
Yeah, and think of how bad they
were. Taken down.
Think of how bad they would have been otherwise. Think of how poorly Dwight Howard played at junctures during the season. Think of how little help he had around him. Yeah, the second best player when Dwight Howard was off the floor, the second best player on the Rockets is who?
Pat Beverly.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's a winning team right there.
But here's the thing.
I'll take Derek Fisher right now over Patrick Beverly.
All those ghosts where you're like, boy, I wish I had people to help me. They were there, and James Harden and Dwight Howard chased them off. I chase everybody out of town, all the neighbors and all that out of town, and then when a zombie apocalypse happens and I'm sitting here begging for help, I go, where is everybody? I go, well, I just chased them out of town last week.
Well, this is what happens.
Kevin McHale.
When you build a team around divas, this is what happens. And James Harden and Dwight Howard in their NBA careers have proven to be, for lack of a better word, diva-esque in terms of wanting it a certain way, only their way, and not showing any compromise. On a more macro level, look at what the Rockets are building. Every year,
nothing.
Exactly. Every year, they're targeting a new free agent. They started with the big fish that was Jeremy Lin, right? That's when they were up and coming. Then from Jeremy Lin, they tried to go get Carmelo. They tried to get Chris Bosh. They turned the roster over. Remember, Omer Asik was their big signing. Traded him, no problem. Now you bring in James Harden. Now you try to start a build around him, but your parts are constantly moving. And it's great to be flexible and be able to do things in the NBA, but if your parts are constantly moving and you can't commit to a group of superstars or a group of players to try and make it work, how sustainable is that success ever going to be?
Boy, are you talking about the Houston Rockets or the New York Knickerbockers?
Well, there are a lot of teams that could fit under this description, let me tell you.
What is wrong with Phil Jackson? Is he off his meds? Is he just trying to sabotage the Knicks so he can go back to the Lakers with his wife or his fiance or whatever they are anymore? But let's get a solid team around Carmelo. It's Carmelo! It's a broken down wheel. Let's not build a car around a broken down wheel.
Well, for reasons unknown to most of us, the Knicks and Carmelo remained committed to each other despite so many suggesting or recognizing the idea of a rebuild being a valid one, right? But now they've infused this Derrick Rose trade, which, don't worry, again, we'll get into, okay? But they've infused this Derrick Rose element into the mix. And my thing is, I like the idea of Rose with Porzingis playing in the pick and roll, playing with Carmelo, who showed that he could be a better player when he had a ball-dominant point guard in Denver, like Chauncey, like an Iverson. He could be a better player with somebody to take the pressure off of him. I'm not saying that Rose will do that alone, but Rose and the second-year development of Porzingis may be able to do a little bit of that.
The guy needs the ball,
okay,
Mr. Noroff.
That's fine.
But Porzingis can't grow unless he's taking a bunch of shots.
But Derrick Rose is not the player who needs to come in and take 20 shots a game. He doesn't need to play that role, that exact role for this team.
But he will, though. Did you hear what he said? He came in and was like, I'm looking to be the superstar in New York. I want to go to a big market. I want to be the superstar. I want to be the guy. He's talking like it's still 2011.
Listen, what I'm saying is, if you're the Knicks, okay, here's my one issue with the trade. Okay, if you're the Knicks and in April and March and in February, we're hearing triangle this, triangle that. You don't need a ball dominant point guard. We're going to build the team this certain way. And now all of a sudden in June and July, well, actually, we've abandoned all of that. We've hired Jeff Hornacek as our head coach, and we're going to scrap it and do it a different way. Which, in my opinion, they should have done it this way a lot earlier. Okay, so at least you've recognized the mistake. But the message has been so incongruent at every check-in of Phil Jackson's tenure with this team. So what are you trying to build? Because it seems like that in and of itself constantly changes. But from a value standpoint, if you tell me that you can get Derrick Rose, I don't care that he has 1 year left on his deal, but if I'm going to remain committed to Carmelo, and try and put a realistic winning team, at least a playoff team, around Carmelo at this stage of his career, and you're telling me I can go get Derrick Rose, and it's going to cost me Jose Calderon, Jerian Grant, and the contract of Robin Lopez? That seems like a pretty fair deal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't love giving up Robin Lopez's contract because it's a nice value deal with the cap rising,
right,
and he proved to be a solid center, right? He's going to be the new Joakim Noah in Chicago. But if you can go sign Joakim Noah, who will be a free agent, by the way, and is good buddies with Derrick Rose.
I want to see him go to Minnesota.
That's not in my plan, all right? That's not in my plan.
Let my Knicks plan play out,
all right? So if you're the Knicks and you can put a Joakim Noah inside, right, and then you can play Porzingis, you can play Rose, you can play Melo, you just need a two-guard because Aaron Aflalo opted out. He's probably gone. You just need a two-guard, and then you need a two-guard who's capable of playing defense, right? You need like an Andre Roberson or a Thabo Sefolosha, somebody who's not going to complain about their role in the offense but can still hit the shot when the ball is passed to them.
Thabo Sefolosha isn't a starting two-guard on a championship team.
The Knicks are not a championship team.
But that's the end in mind. That's where you want
to
get.
That's not the end in mind for this team. This team's end in mind right now needs to be the playoffs, realistically. Looking at it through a realistic lens, there are so few teams that are true NBA championship contenders.
You're not doing that with
basis.
Jeff Hornacek.
Okay, but are you building something better than what you
why
had?
Why didn't they go get Tom Thibodeau?
Phil Jackson and Tom Thibodeau don't exactly see eye to eye, and it's not because one is taller than the other. Okay, so I think Phil was very hesitant to go outside of his circle or triangle, I think would be the more appropriate shape here, considering it's Phil Jackson.
His triangle's on fire.
Yeah,
right now.
His coaching triangle ain't doing so hot. We need a big water truck to put
Pop's
the fire out.
Pop's doing much better right now.
Okay.
Pop's beating him in the all-time, like, who's the best all-time coach? Like, Ed Auerbach was pretty good, but Pop's looking real good right now.
So, you know, he went outside. He hired Hornacek, to his credit. The Knicks are going to try something different that has, you know, but the blueprint, it really remains the same. Even though it's changed within Jackson's tenure, it's remained the same for the Knicks under James Dolan. It's go out and get the superstar name and try and build something around it. They just happen to fall into Kristaps Porzingis, right? Because remember, before last year's draft, everybody was like, oh man, the Knicks are screwed. They got the fourth pick and there are three clear top talents. Who are they going to pick at four? The Knicks got totally screwed. They lost all year for nothing. Remember, the Lakers jumped up to the two spot.
Right.
Then they literally fell into Porzingis. But before that, it's been, let's go sign Amari, right? Let's go sign him to a $100 million deal. Now we're going to trade for Carmelo. That's another big name we're going to bring in and see if it works. Now it's Derrick Rose, right? Another big name, the former MVP. And 2010-11 MVP is something to hang your hat on. We're going into 2016-17 now. This is 5 years later, 6 years later.
What happens to Carmelo when he comes back from Team USA to play for the Knicks? It's the tale of two cities with this guy. This guy is, I'll pass the ball to anybody. I'm a team player. He looks great. He looks like a champion. And then he goes back to the Knicks and he's like, I'm going to go back to my own selfish ways.
How much of that is a product of Carmelo and how much of that is a product of what's been around him to help support him in the last 2 years? And last year, he did finally show that he could be a better passer. He could be a more all-around player, more of a complete player, because he had Porzingis. And Porzingis started getting a lot of attention on the floor with him.
I don't get the impression that he likes Porzingis very much.
Based off of what?
Just body language. I know how to read people, Ethan. All right.
I actually know how to read minds.
I'm reading you right now.
Yeah. I'm going to drop you off the College of Hypnotherapy when I got off the freeway earlier.
Sounds,
there's a sign.
That's fine.
Sounds like that's your new home over there.
I'll bring a tent.
You should. I think that's what they all sleep in over there.
We've had a lot of chats recently, not me and you, me and just people in general.
Had a lot of chats myself recently, let me tell you.
I'm a man about town, okay. In case you didn't know I do. And
I got sweat.
You know, downtown where there's a lot of homeless people living in tents under a bridge, I was like, yeah, I got a 10-person tent in my closet right there. If I was homeless, I'm taking that thing tomorrow. That's my MVP. All right, that's my Carmelo. If I'm building a team of homeless, man, that's my franchise right there until somebody steals it.
You might want to pick a more stable franchise than Carmelo.
Because who would rob a homeless person? That's a nice tent. I'm going to take that tent. Man, I'm homeless. You can't steal from me.
Somebody with no soul. Truly.
Somebody, another homeless person would rob me.
A more desperate person.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But we should talk about the draft instead of homeless people at some point.
Speaking of homeless people in the draft, how about that Thon Maker?
I don't know what the connection is there, but all right, we'll go with that. So
he's going to be homeless in a couple of years. He's going to be out of the league.
Well, he's got that guaranteed contract as the 10th overall pick. No, I did not. Yeah, he got 2 years and a couple options.
Yeah, but it's a team option.
But look at a guy like Bismack Biyombo, who nobody knew anything about.
He was like the 10th pick, wasn't he? Or 9th or somewhere around there?
9th, yeah. They declined his option. Said, we're going to move on from this guy. He didn't pan out for us.
I remember him being a scrub, and I'm like, man, he's pulling down like 20 rebounds.
Blossomed in Toronto, and now he's going to sign for at least $10 million a year.
Would you rather have Kevin Love or Bismack Biyombo on your championship team? If you're Cleveland, you want Kevin Love or you want Biyombo?
Well, I think Kevin Love plays LeBron James' best position. Having said that, I still would rather have Kevin Love than Bismack Biyombo.
You're crazy.
I don't think I am.
Hassan Whiteside or Kevin Love?
Hassan Whiteside.
Dwight Howard or Kevin Love?
Kevin Love. And I say,
you were just talking about putting him at power forward.
And I'm saying that about Hassan Whiteside because I feel what he brings to the table as an elite rim protector is a more it's a harder trait to find in the league today than what Kevin Love is capable of doing because there are a lot of stretch fours and a lot of them can rebound effectively. I understand Love can be a truly excellent rebounder, but his skill set is easier to find for me than what Whiteside can bring to the table.
You know what's interesting is we talk so much about how Dwight doesn't want to win and how he got on Kobe's nerves and how he goes, you know, he doesn't want to win and he's selfish and that. I think he's one of those dudes. He might be best fit in a LeBron system where LeBron's a giving dude. LeBron would do what he's got to do to try and make Dwight the star. And I'm like, how great is LeBron?
He doesn't get enough credit for his true greatness, both as a player and as a leader.
I got to put him above Jordan by far. And that aspect is LeBron can make a lot of people better. He can make Ira Neubel look like he belongs in the league.
He can make Ira Neubel look like Trevor Ariza. That is no small task.
He made Richard Jefferson look like he still had legs. Did you see Richard Jefferson robbed a bank this year? Because he was supposed to be out of the league, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago? And he just won a championship starting on the team. And did you see what happened the second they won the championship? He's like, peace, I'm out.
And then he reversed his decision.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
Oh, see, now that's trouble. See, because he robbed a bank, and then he took off, and now he's like, I'm going to come rob that bank one more time. And I'm like,
come back.
They know your face, Richard. Don't do it.
Yeah, I got you on the security cam now.
You're not going to get it. So I'm predicting a failure. Is he coming back to Cleveland?
I think he would like to, but at a higher rate than what he was signed at this year because he got the league minimum this year.
Now you're selfish.
Now we're going to play a little hardball.
Now you're going to jail,
my
friend.
That's how you wind up in Brooklyn on the Nets on a 2-year deal for $10 million playing behind some scrub rookie and not winning.
He's going to...
Richard Jefferson's going home for a New Jersey / Brooklyn Nets reunion.
He's going to a nice white-collar prison. With that voice, he's going to a white-collar prison. You heard him? Hey, hey, how's it going? We could have played better.
So, speaking of Richard Jefferson and Thon Maker and the draft.
Yes.
Okay. Ben Simmons, obviously the top pick. Okay, there was never any question about that.
Right? Nah, I didn't want him as the top pick. I like Brandon Ingram more.
Well, personally, I like Brandon Ingram more for the Lakers and what he fits for that team.
Agreed.
Okay. But Ben Simmons is the type of talent where you almost are forced into taking first because if you pass on him and he turns out to be the projection that everybody is saying he's going to be, you look like a complete idiot.
Sure.
Okay, so I understand that. But the Sixers, as a team now, they have to start making some real decisions. Joel Embiid is healthy. Nerlens Noel is healthy. Jahlil Okafor, recovering from knee surgery.
He's alive, but he is not healthy, Nerlens Noel. You didn't hear that story that we reported on the podcast a while ago about his living situation. Did you hear that?
Yes, he's since departed that living situation.
Yeah, but that's real messed up.
He's a kid. It happens.
No, that only happened to one other guy, and his name was Robert Swift. I think they locked him up. I think he's pre-Richard Jefferson. He's already in jail.
The Robert Swift story is a much sadder one than Nerlens Noel. He will be fine.
What's he doing with all that Gatorade, Ethan?
He's thirsty, man.
And Dookie.
He's trying to support the league, the official sponsor.
He's got, right?
It's like what we're doing with Bagel Bites. He's just trying to get his money in his pocket.
The man had more Dookie and cotton balls than
a hospital. That I can't speak to, okay? Having said that, all right, the Sixers now, they've got about 4,000 big men. Their depth chart is all power forwards and centers.
Yes.
You can't play them all at the same time.
Sam Hinkie's gone, finally.
Hinkie's gone. Colangelo and Sun
He had to publish a book before he did it, but...
The 13-page resignation note, you know, forgot he was related to Shakespeare, actually. I'm not sure if you knew that, but that's a fun fact that you can only get on this podcast.
His older brother is William Faulkner.
Yeah, so there you go, okay? It's no wonder, okay? He runs in the family. But you've got Ben Simmons. You've got Dario Saric, who's about to come over finally, right? So you got two there.
Is Dario Saric any good?
He is. He is a solid player.
Who do I keep confusing him with? Who's Marko Jaric? Was that Marko Jaric in the Clippers?
Yes, that was Marko Jaric.
I keep thinking they're the same guy because I was like, that Marko Jaric was already over.
If Dario Saric,
is he still in the, where's he at? Is he played overseas?
He is long since retired.
He's not that old. I remember he had a beautiful model of a girlfriend.
So what I was just going to say is if Dario Saric can do half as good as Marko Jaric seemed to do, I think he'll be all right.
Maybe they're brothers.
Maybe. Long lost. Okay. So who are they going to move and to where? Right? Are they going to move Nerlens
Noel? What's Dario Saric play? He's a two?
Power forward.
Oh, jeez.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
Exactly. Okay, so you got Embiid, Noel, you got Okafor, Simmons, sign Joakim Noah. Might as well. Just have a team of straight seven-footers.
Who's worth keeping? Who's the best? Nerlens Noel? I like Joel Embiid.
If I'm the Sixers, I need to keep at least one of Noel and Okafor ahead of Embiid because I have absolutely no idea what he's going to give me. The potential is great, but he's missed his first 2 years, and you have no idea what he's realistically capable of contributing. And the problem is if you get rid of either Noel or Okafor on the cheap, let's say, on a discount type of deal, just because you have a surplus, then Embiid winds up hurting himself again, and the guy you didn't trade also hurts himself for any period of time, you're suddenly extremely thin at an area that was supposed to be an area of surplus. So it's almost like they're in between, despite having the real need to create this true roster balance.
I also don't think Okafor is going to be great on their team. I think Okafor has to go somewhere else, which is always the sad thing about the draft, right? Is, you know, people forget, man, there's some phenomenal coaches, and you have to kind of get one of those guys in order to really develop your talent. So if you're saying, oh, Okafor was a bust, he wouldn't be if he went to a team with a good coach.
If you're in the NBA draft, and you do not get picked in the first round, I would rather be undrafted than go in the second round.
Yeah.
Because of how the structure is.
Agreed.
Because in the second round, they can either just cut you, they sign you to a non-guaranteed deal, they want to send you to Europe, you have very little say over it, and stash you overseas. First round, you got a guaranteed money deal. You're making millions of dollars. Guaranteed.
No.
Second round, you're not guaranteed a thing.
All right. Ethan, you're 19 years old. You're a really good basketball player. Doesn't matter the position.
For the record, I am a very good basketball player, but I am not 19 years old.
Okay, let's say you're like an 8th through 15th round, 8th through 15th number pick.
So a borderline lottery pick.
Right. Who do you want to play for? Where's the best situation for you to go?
Are we talking about any team, potentially, or any team from this year's lottery?
Any team.
Oh, you got to pick San Antonio. Okay. You have to pick San Antonio. Look at what they've done with players like a Kawhi Leonard. Was picked, I believe, 15th overall in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They traded George Hill for him. And this was a guy who was supposed to be, yeah, he's a good defender, but I don't know about the rest of his game. So, well, by the way, he's a finals MVP, shooting almost 50% from three-point line, and he's going to be the guy who carries the Spurs in this post-Tim Duncan era. So, yeah, I think he's done all right for himself.
Man, probably. He's driving like a Toyota or something.
Driving a Chevy 97 Suburban, cutting coupons. My kind of guy right there. Okay, that's a real my kind of guy. Still rocking the cornrows.
Salt of the earth.
In the post-Iverson era. Real appreciation for that. Okay, but if Kawhi Leonard, when he was drafted, if he goes to Sacramento, is he the same player he is today? No way.
No.
No chance.
He's got the work ethic, though. Well, think about Butler. Butler wouldn't have been the same player if it weren't for Thibodeau playing him 48 minutes during his rookie preseason.
It's very, very circumstantial. Unless you're a truly transcendent talent who'd be capable of breaking out anywhere. I mean, if you're Kevin Durant, okay, you're going to be good anywhere. If you're LeBron James, it's great that you went to Cleveland when you were drafted. It's a great story, but you would have been the best player in the league anywhere, right?
Yeah, and that's the sad thing about LeBron is everyone doesn't give him any credit because he's never had a great coach.
And honestly, if not San Antonio, why not Golden State? Look at Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Those are all really, really good players, really great players. But are
you going to develop your talent there, or are you just going to play on a really great team?
If I'm coming into the current situation, you're saying?
I want to come in and be the best I can possibly be.
Well, then you want to go to a team that's going to give you a chance, right? But is also known for good talent development, right?
Yeah.
That's a hard situation to find because usually the teams that have the higher picks are the teams that are not as good. So their talent development may not be quite as good.
That's true.
Okay? But a team like...
But you'll also get enough playing time.
What position am I? That also is a factor, right? Because if I'm Chris Dunn, I don't want to go to Boston. But right. Minnesota picked me? Now we're going to trade Rubio. I'm going to run the show.
You could also go
Zach
to...
Zach Levine and I with Towns and Wiggins. Oh, my goodness.
You could go to the Clippers and train under Chris Paul.
But I got no playing time.
But Chris will teach you.
That's cool. But what about when his contract's up? That's a very short-term window.
Then you take over.
Am I ready at that point?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. All right. But anyway, you want to go to a team that, I mean, realistically is going to give you a chance, a path to earn playing time, but also is going to develop you in a way that needs to be developed.
Were there any players in this year's draft who you felt like, wow, that's a great place for them to go play? Where you were happy to... Like, remember when Brandon Roy, I think, got drafted and sent to, like, Minnesota or something? And they were like, that's good.
Well,
Roy... Or was it... It was Randy Foy. They got drafted and swapped for each other, I think, remember?
Foy and Roy,
yeah.
It's like a Dr. Seuss novel in here. So, you know...
One went to Portland, and the other went to Minnesota, and then they flipped.
Ingram. I mean, you got to love the fit in L.A. like we talked about, right? Chris Dunn in Minnesota.
Why is that a great... Yeah, but is that
where... Because that's what they need. They need a capable shooter on the wing who can play the three.
But who's he going to learn from?
He's going to be his own
Luke
player.
Luke Walton's going to teach him how to be a big-time star?
Better coach than player. Phil Jackson was just an average player with a bad back. Hey, sounds man, a lot like true. Luke Walton. You know? And Luke Walton...
Do we know how good Luke Walton... Do we know how good Luke Walton is?
Yeah, I mean, if you got Curry, Thompson, Green, and everybody down the line singing his praises, that's got to mean something.
They sing the praises about Sean Livingston. That doesn't mean I give him a $20 million contract and have him start.
I'm not just giving Luke Walton $20 million to go start in my small forward either.
Yeah, they gave him quite a bit of money to coach that team.
So? They didn't give him $20 million a
year. How much did they give him? Like six? Something like that?
I'll say like $5 or $6 million a year.
That's the prices that they give coaches.
Like that's like going rate now. That's the going rate.
Yeah,
that's
what you got to give me like 3 or 4 years, $5 million a year.
So... I like Dunn in Minnesota. I think it's a great fit. Buddy Hield.
Are they trading Ricky Rubio?
Yes. You got him.
To where? For who?
It's a tough Chicago? Fit. Tough fit, man.
Send him to the Bulls? He might be good in Fred Hoiberg's system, right?
Is he part of a rebuild in Chicago? Does he fit with
Jimmy
Butler?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a part of a rebuild.
Does he fit with Jimmy Butler?
Rubio is a poor man Steve Nash.
Oh,
a real poor man.
Homeless man, Steve Nash.
Steve Nash is living in two houses. And
Rubio's got that 10-person tent outside. Yeah,
I'll give him my tip.
Oh God, you're gonna have to. How about a team like Sacramento, maybe, if they don't re-sign Rajon Rondo?
Why would you do that to
him? Well, I have the same reaction sometimes when I look at Ricky Rondo, Rubio shoot the ball, and I go,
Rajon Rondo's ridiculing Sacramento. Go, man. What a joke it is to play there. And I'm like, when that dude's saying it?
But here's my thing with Rubio is that if you're a team that's interested in acquiring Rubio, what are you giving up that does not compromise what your team is going to be?
A family-sized bag of pretzels. Who cares?
Tom Thibodeau's going to want more than that. And I feel like he's more of an almond, maybe a filbert guy.
Nah, he's a big dude. He likes filbert.
maybe some mixed nuts with a little extra filberts in there.
He's got to have some cheese. He's got to have something with some cheese on it. I know
and
him.
Unsalted cashews with cheese and a nice glass of Pinot, maybe. That strikes me as a Tom Thibodeau. That's how he relaxes after yelling so much.
See, when court. I like to snack, I like to get one from every family. I got to get the chocolate family represented. I got to have the cheese family
these
represented.
These aren't actual food groups, people. These are just families of food. just families,
yes. I got to have something sweet, preferably like cherry flavored.
What do you feel about the Nestle Flips chocolate covered pretzels?
I love them so much. They make me so happy. Maybe. Those chocolate. I usually go for the white chocolate ones.
Oh, those are excellent. But a little Jason Williams with it.
Jason Williams?
Yeah, white chocolate.
White chocolate.
Yeah, hello.
That's your talk about the other Jason Williams, the one who killed a bunch of people.
No, we will not be discussing him on this podcast. He does not deserve any airtime. Okay.
But
white chocolate, Jason Williams. Maybe Nestle could be our new sponsor. So send us a big box of flips.
He just turned like 60 the other day, too.
He's definitely not 60. He's like 40. He's right around 40.
He just retired.
And he's still balling.
He's Coutinho Mobley.
He's better
there.
Than Chris Duhon could ever wish to be.
Man, whatever happened, why'd you bring him up? I love that man.
First of all, Chris Duhon, I believe he's an assistant coach in college.
Oh, good right for now. Him.
Yeah.
Duke?
No.
I remember...
I think it's some... It might be... No, don't quote me on this. It might be at Dan D'Antoni's program at Marshall.
Interesting. Who's Dan D'Antoni? Is that his brother?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Does he look like him? Does he got a mustache?
I don't know. Mike D'Antoni looks straight up like the Pringles can.
My brother...
But he shaved his mustache for his introductory press conference in Houston.
My brother, who's 2 years older than me, had a real ugly look, and then I started rocking a beard, and he was like, that's cool. So he stole my beard from me, started wearing a beard. Now they're like, oh, you guys look alike. I'm like, man, he robbed me.
He sounds like a real asshole, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah. He's a bug guy.
Oh.
He kills bugs.
Well, you know.
Apparently don't eat at Old Country Buffet.
Okay. We're gonna scratch those guys off the sponsor list. Okay, those guys are going off.
When you eat an Old Country Buffet, your family.
The crunch in your potatoes is not just a crunch in the potatoes.
And don't forget, while you're sitting at home tonight, go out there, go to the grocery store, grab yourself a box of bagel bites.
Yeah, bagel bites.
When pizza's on a bagel, you're going to have pizza anytime.
In the morning, in the evening, you can have pizza. Supper. Anytime.
And, you know, you're listening to Booze and Basketball, the best of both worlds. Make sure you check out boozeandbasketball.com for all your booze and basketball needs. Check out Podomatic, Stitcher, or anywhere where podcasts are found. Thank you. Ethan.
Well, now I just really want some bagel bites.
How good's Ben Simmons? Is he going to make an all-star team in 3 years?
Yes.
Is he going to be a franchise guy in 4 years?
I think he'll be a franchise guy.
His second contract, are you like, man, this is one of the best players in the league? Top 10 player? Top 5 player?
I don't know that he'll be that player on his next contract. I could say...
So you're going to have to leave the Sixers to do
he
it?
He has the potential to be, okay? But if I were signing him to that next contract, it's because I would believe he's capable of becoming that under the time period in which I'm signing him the contract for.
Is he playing the 3 or the 4 in the NBA? In his,
I would
his
imagine career? He'd play like a Lamar Odom type of role. Hmm. Pop maybe a little bit of both. Maybe like the 3 on offense, but the 4 on defense. Because he's going to be a ball handling forward. Right? He's going to bring the ball up the floor for them. He's going to be a facilitator. And I think he'll maybe try and facilitate more his rookie season than look for his own shot. But then once he starts feeling his game, feel a little bit more comfortable, maybe then he gets a little bit more aggressive.
Interesting. How I'm just going to throw questions at you and see what sticks. Is Buddy Hield going to be out of the league in 4 years?
No. I like Buddy Hield a lot.
See, I don't. I worry about this guy who could shoot the ball, and I'm like, yeah, but... When you get these 4 year shooters where you're the Jimmer Fredettes of the world, I get worried.
How quick did you write off JJ Redick?
Real quick.
And look, I love
Chris Duha more. I thought Chris Duha would still be around.
You're like those guys who run the I Hate JJ Redick site then.
I don't
is that
hate
you?
Him.
Is that you?
No, that's not
is that
me.
Is that your second
no,
job?
I hate Kevin Durant. That's my
Oh
website.
No. We're not on the same page. We're not reading out the same book on that one. Okay? No, sir.
I'm also not a fan of Dwight Howard or James Harden. Or Draymond Green, or
I'm sorry, what was that last name? You just huh? Just kind of whispered
huh?
It there.
I sneezed.
That's what I thought. You know, don't worry, there will be no kicking or punching accidentally, of course, on this show.
Thank you. Yeah, I get worried, man. I see Doug McDermott. I see, you know, who's
Doug McBuckets dropped 30 plus last
and
year,
and he's killing his team doing it. When he doesn't play, they're like almost towards the top of the league defensively. When he plays, they're at the bottom.
And I'm going to say, is that a structure of who's around him or just him?
Hey,
or is it
just
both?
He's just not very good. He's like Kyle Korver. He's a poor man's Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver gets paid.
Kyle Korver is working security at the Walmart. And
I'd be working security at the Walmart too after my NBA career just to get something done. What am I going to do? I'm going to stand outside, say hi to all the people, count my millions, go home.
Autograph signings, all right.
Enjoy time with my beautiful
wife.
There's
this guy who played for the Lakers. I'm sure I...
Eldon Campbell.
Oh, I know Eldon Campbell.
Is that who you're thinking of?
No, some other dude. He played...
Was it Eddie Jones?
He played before they won the championships, I think. And he just... Oh, he's always doing autograph signings everywhere. And I'm like...
Chris Mim?
No. This is a black guy.
Definitely not Chris Mim.
Chris Mim's as white as day.
Yeah, definitely not Chris Mim.
Before Chris Mim, long before.
Long before Chris Mim, and after Eldon Campbell.
Man, when did Eldon Campbell play?
Mid-90s.
Probably around the same time. He was like a small forward, power forward. Maybe?
I know you're not talking about Sean Rooks. R.I.P.
No.
R.I.P. Sean Rooks.
No, this guy's still doing... That would be weird. This guy's
I guess it would be weird.
This guy's doing autograph signings.
Be a zombie autograph signing. You don't have too many of those.
I'm going to start showing up as random basketball players going, yeah, I'm that guy.
Yeah. You.
I'm Tractor Trailer.
That's
not... R.I.P.
Oh, God. Oh, traded for Dirk Nowitzki on draft day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I liked him for a minute. He was in Cleveland, too. Wasn't he? He played with LeBron.
He's been in a lot of places.
He played with LeBron?
Not sure.
I think he was on that team when LeBron came in. Not because Boozer was already there, too, so he might have been...
You can't have Boozer and Tractor Taylor on the same team. I think that's not allowed by NBA rules,
poor
actually.
Tractor Trailer, man.
Yeah, I agree. Sad story.
Real sad story.
That is a...
R.I.P.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of this guy. We're not going to sit here and spend 20 minutes thinking about it. All I know is it's sad. All right. But that's what you get to do. You could go to Sports Authority and be like, I'm going to sign autographs for an hour.
John Sally.
I know who John Sally is.
I thought that was good. I thought that's
best true. Damn sports show. And he's not a small forward. He was a center, wasn't he?
Oh, I thought you said a big man.
No, he was like a small forward.
Okay.
Stop. Whoever's doing that, better shut up.
That's a real Adam Morrison level move out there. Okay.
Oh, you sent me that article, by the way, about Adam Morrison, and I went and read it too.
I need to still read it. Is it good?
It's so good. Oh. So Adam Morrison. I don't know who wrote that. What site? You
wrote it? It was a Bleacher Report.
So Ethan North wrote this article.
I did not write this article.
About Adam Morrison.
Just dropping the full identity in there, huh?
You're a star.
I am.
You're a celebrity. Yeah, we might as well, it's like
I have no anonymity.
It's like when we got Skip Bayless coming here in about another month, and I'm not gonna call him Skip and just be like Skip B. I'm like he's Skip Bayless.
I'm not gonna lie, I might call him sick that day.
You don't like Skip Bayless?
Mm.
What's wrong with him?
Where do I start? I don't think we have enough time on this episode to recap.
He's a wonderful man.
He might be. But in terms of his basketball analysis...
Love him. He's top of the game.
No. He is definitely not anywhere near there. I would rather listen to a long list of people about talking about anything. Maybe even folding laundry than listen to Skip Bayless talk about basketball.
Wouldn't you fold your laundry...
I've recently started folding laundry, the one fold, and then the hot dog style double fold to save space. It's been a real game changer.
Oh, I think, didn't you show me? I think you took like a picture, or you had a camera, you recorded it, and then you showed it to me.
It's possible.
And you were like, look at how I'm folding laundry now, you're so proud.
It's possible, that sounds like something I might do.
Well done.
You know?
I've seen people fold laundry in like half a second. They have some sort of super move?
Like a competitive folding challenge?
No, I mean just some person who's like, this is how you're supposed to fold.
So it's
look
like
at how I can fold. They fold like two things in a second.
So it's like a Nathan's hot dog eating contest, but for laundry.
I guess so. Well, no, it's not. It's not a competition. It's just she's sitting at home. She's like, here, watch this. And she picks it up by like the sleeve and the middle of the shirt and just grabs it like that and flaps it.
Oh, I've seen that. But that's wizardry. You have to be into Harry Potter and have a wand.
You gotta be in
Hogwarts to be able
to do that. Skulls and bones.
Yeah.
Skull and bones.
I can't do that.
Okay.
If I fold my laundry, it's a successful day. I don't care if it takes me six tries.
Well done.
How I feel about folding laundry is how some people might feel about parallel parking. As long as I'm in there,
cheated parallel parking because you have the card that does it for you.
That's like saying I cheat because I'm a highly athletic guy and I happen to play in the NBA and be an awesome rim protector.
No, you got the tech doing it for you. You can't have tech.
But if I'm 7'2", I got my
arms. You can't wear goggles
like
Horace Grant and have him tell you like, hey man, here's how you shoot it. Shoot it right now or do something like this.
How do you know he didn't? Maybe he was like Schwarzenegger the Terminator.
Horace Grant was not that good. I hope he wasn't.
How do you think he's gotten Horace Grant, Harvey Grant, Jerrion Grant, Jeremy Grant? How do you think we keep getting all these grants, man? It's not an accident.
They're all based off Brian Grant is what it is.
You know what? Let me tell you a story about Brian Grant.
Please
Brian
do.
Grant used to live down the street from a good friend of mine. And one day we saw him walking his dogs, and his dogs had the exact same style of braids as he did. True story. And I was just
they were
laughing
his sons.
And laughing and laughing. That guy signed a $100 million deal, I believe it was, with Miami.
Yeah.
Is that right? 7 years, $100 million, something like that.
Something ridiculous. Never. And then they traded him and won a championship. Brian Grant, Lamar Odom.
It was the Shaq Diesel trade.
And who's number
Ronnie
three?
Ronnie Cicely's future kid. I just made that up.
No, it was a Caron Butler. Mm. It was Caron Butler, Lamar Odom, and Brian Grant for Shaq.
Actually,
and
not
they
not
refused
a,
to trade
not a terrible,
Dwayne Wade.
Not a terrible deal. But you got to get a pick in there. At least a pick. For Shaq at that stage of his career, it's not a terrible deal because Odom and Caron Butler were legitimate
I'm
contributors.
I'm sure there were picks in there.
Well, I would hope so.
Probably.
We should have pulled that up and discussed that.
No, we don't do research on this podcast.
I didn't say research. I'm just saying we could
have pulled
it up. Right
we now. Call it straight shooting. Los and I get together and go, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. We'll figure it out when we hit the record button.
All right. Jamarcus Russell it is. Let's go.
No, we're not Jamarcus Russell, sir. We're Brett Favre. All right. Yeah. Just like to go out there and play backyard football.
Ooh, which is all those backyard computer games. You remember those? Backyard
Man,
baseball,
so
backyard
good.
Football.
Ironically, for somebody who doesn't like baseball, backyard baseball was my favorite one because were they the same characters in every single
yes,
one?
Yes, and that little kid Pablo, I believe his name was,
yeah, oh,
was
man.
The best at everything.
No, the guy who was like fourth, who was like a big hitter.
He was like little kid, Pablo.
No, there was this big black kid who was in there, and he would swing it out the park every single time.
I don't know if that's a politically
correct
conclusion.
He was Jamarcus
Russell.
No, I'm a man of color. I'm allowed to say it. Los isn't here this week, so I can't get away with it. I'd like to apologize.
A man of color, and is that color see-through? Is that color clear?
No, I'm not clear. I'm not Larry Bird.
Ooh, you're not a Greg Ostertag?
Oh, man, that guy. Real Bill Walton.
You know? You're not a Chris Mim.
Bill Walton was quietly one of the best players to ever play the game.
You know?
For one season.
How about Moses Malone?
Real good.
Mark Eaton.
No. I hate Mark Eaton.
Why? As he would block your shot and tell mom about it?
I wish. I'd tell my mom a lot of things.
It would be a nice story. Be like, guess what I did at the park today?
Okay. So, give this draft a grade.
All right.
In terms of how many drafts have you watched? How many drafts have you covered where you were like, man, I'm... Because I'm sure you watched when you were a kid, but you didn't have any
draft.
You know, didn't have any knowledge.
Draft I've covered since about 2009 or 2010, maybe. Let's say 2010.
What drafts were worse than this? The Anthony Bennett draft was pretty bad. That might have been the best and worst draft.
That was pretty bad. This draft, I just think it doesn't have... When a draft lacks a player or players that you know are going to come in immediately and dominate, right, and be transcendent talents. And I think Ben Simmons can be that, but he did not show us that type of production at LSU this year. I think he can be that. But like last year, right, 2015 NBA draft, when you knew it was Karl Anthony Towns and then everybody else, right? That was like the clear number one for everybody. And then Karl Anthony Towns comes in, drops 20-10 a night, shoots 50%, can stroke the occasional trade ball, can steal it, can block shots, shoots it well from the free throw line. I mean, he does everything, right? And it's his first year in the league. Okay? Him and Wiggins, with that foundation, now with Chris Dunn and Tom Thibodeau, I'd love to be a Minnesota Timberwolves fan right now. Good times.
I'm getting on now, because here's the thing. I was on Golden State before everyone else.
Oh, here we go, everybody. Here we go. The claim to fame. Well, let me prepare you all. This is the claim to fame brought to you by Bagel Bites. Okay, claim to fame.
I was there before anybody else, except for Golden State fans who were from the area. But had to get off because I didn't own any merch or anything quick enough. And I loved Steph Curry since he was at Davidson.
I will say that when you watch the LeBron tape of him in Miami versus Golden State playing at Oracle, there are a lot more Miami jerseys in the crowd. Seems to me now that it's all pretty much Golden State jerseys at Oracle. Wonder how that happened. Not trying to call anybody out, but let's just call it like I see it.
But I couldn't get on it because I don't know. I wasn't fast enough, I guess. I'm going to get on this Minnesota one. I got to go get a jersey right now.
You don't even need to get a jersey. What you need to do is you need to get on the Minnesota Timberwolves website, custom make a Brad Miller throwback. Then you'll be on the bandwagon.
Okay, very good. I can't get like a Kevin Garnett old one. That one's...
You could get a new one since he's still on the team.
Now with the old one.
They do have a nice old school logo from back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
If you get a Stephon Marbury Timberwolves jersey, now we're talking.
I'll get a Sprewell. How's that sound?
My first NBA autograph, Stephon Marbury.
How many do you have?
A handful. Okay. Well, I've bought some, too, but I mean a handful that I've actually got.
Are they worth anything? Can I hit you over the head and go raid your place?
Probably not.
Okay.
You don't strike me as that kind of guy.
No, I'm not that guy. You know? I can't do that.
But, I do have some nice ones. Bernard King. Andre Drummond rookie card. Sign.
That's worth something.
Nick Vucevic. Some random ones. Tobias Harris.
You got a Sasha Spud, Pavlovich.
Spud Webb, if you will.
That's a good one.
So, you know. George Mirason.
Hey, here's a question for you.
You just glossed right over my George Mirason autograph card, and I do not appreciate
it. I didn't
that.
Even know who that was.
My favorite giant with Billy Crystal. The really tall dude.
Billy Crystal?
Yeah, man.
He didn't play pro ball.
Well, that much is clear, okay? Okay, we don't need to discuss that. But George Mirason, he was like 7'7". He was on the Washington Bullets.
Oh, very interesting.
That's very disappointing you don't know about George Mirason. We're going to have a history lesson on the next episode.
I'll get his biography.
All right, you better.
So there was this guy who fell who I don't know that much about, and I'm going to try and pronounce his name.
Oh, boy.
Scal Lepicier? Is that his name?
Nah, we'll go with it. We'll call him Scal.
Scal.
Okay.
Or that guy.
Call him Scal. At one point, he was the second best player in the country in high school behind Ben Simmons not too long ago.
Interesting.
FYI.
But where did he go play ball? Where is he?
Kentucky.
Yeah. So they compared him to Channing Frye. And so I'm like, well, that's got to be a good thing in this league right now where they want,
shooting big,
some force who can shoot shots.
Ryan Anderson.
Why did he fall so far?
Must not have impressed in workouts, perhaps.
You think he's got an attitude problem?
Maybe interviews didn't go so well. And, maybe they feel as if a lot of GMs might feel like they can get their stretch four elsewhere, right? Because there's a lot of them. Right. That's become, the valued skill set, so there have been more and more infused into the league. So maybe in that particular aspect, the supply of them is outweighing for the demand.
Well, even, did we even
but Hassan Whiteside, right, where there are not a lot of great centers to begin with, and then truly not a lot of elite rim protectors, that's a dying breed, if you will.
Right.
If you want to take it that far.
But then...
the demand is way up
Golden
here.
Golden State was, you see the importance of Andrew Bogut, you're like, maybe we kind of need those. Maybe, they shouldn't die so easily.
And I agree. But you can't, the days of just bringing it up at a snail's pace and games being 90-85, right? That's not the NBA anymore, okay? But you still got to have, especially if you're going to have guys, Golden State is fortunate because they can play small ball, put Draymond in center, and they got guys like Klay Thompson and Shaun Livingston who can actually guard on the perimeter. Okay, Harrison Barnes when he's engaged too. But if you're not going to have solid perimeter defense, right? Like look at the Lakers last year. They had no defense anywhere. So every time, even if Roy Hibbert had suddenly become the Roy Hibbert of old, which he was nowhere close to, but even if he had become the Roy Hibbert of old and become the rim protector and the elite defender, the links on the chain were so weak around him that there's only so many coverages he can cover for. Eventually, he's going to get exposed because he's going to be covering for this man. And the other guy's going to go backdoor, right?
Interesting.
Golden State has plus defender at every single position. Iguodala, Draymond, Klay Thompson, Livingston, right? They can put that guy on somebody. Right. A lot of teams can't do that. So they got to pick. Like, if we're going to have really good perimeter defense, maybe we can ease on the rim protection a little bit, right? Because right. we're going to force guys outside. But if we have really good interior defense, you know, maybe our perimeter defense is going to be a little softer, right? So, like, sure. the Pacers, they're going to have to worry about, okay, you got Miles Turner inside now, so that's a good start.
We call him Pineapple Head on this podcast.
We call him SpongeBob.
Okay.
Okay. So you got SpongeBob on the inside, okay? You got Paul George, who's obviously a two-way player.
Right.
But now you've got a backcourt. As much as I like the Teague trade, right, the Teague for George Hill.
You continue to say they got to get some height.
And not so much height as they just got to get size in the backcourt because Monte and Teague are both
small. Is that the same thing?
Well, size, not just height, but also like some bulk. So like
some wingspan.
Some wingspan, okay? So a guy like a Kent Bazemore is a guy you and I have talked about, right?
Yeah, did you co-sign a loan for this kid?
I am actually his agent, I'm not going to lie, okay? So
I don't like him.
Jared Dudley 5 years ago.
Man, Jared Dudley's a scrub too.
I said 5 years ago.
He doesn't even look like a basketball player.
A Mike Dunleavy Jr. reunion tour.
That would be fine. He can go. He's washed up too.
Look. Beggars can't be choosers.
Go get Aaron Afalo. You talked about he's not going to stay in the Knicks. Aaron Afalo.
That's okay. I like that. Okay.
I just came up with that off the top of my head.
Very solid. Very solid.
I'm a better GM than Phil Jackson.
But my concern is that they're going to go after a guy like an Eric Gordon.
Ugh. I went to Indiana at the same time Eric Gordon does. Trust me. You're not missing anything.
I ever since he left the Clippers, got traded for Chris Paul.
Ever since he left Indiana. He robbed us of a championship.
Well, that's between you and him.
I hate him. I kill him.
I hate him.
I won't really. I won't kill him. Well, don't take this as a threat, please.
Yeah, please. We're not serious about
FBI that. Tapped on my phones already.
Okay. We got that real weird dial tone thing going.
Okay, so lastly, I can't believe we didn't talk about this. This is what we wanted to build the show around. The Serge Ibaka trade.
Oh.
We didn't even talk about that because we talked about it for like half an hour before while we were eating Jersey Mike's.
Yeah. And Jersey Mike's, if you're listening, we accept you as our top sponsor. Please, reach out. We love your subs.
Make sure you eat Jersey Mike's and get it Mike's way. Try the number 9.
The number 17, Frank's Red Hot. You'll thank me later.
I don't know what the number 9 is, but yeah. Well done. So, for me, that was the capstone, I guess, of the night where I was like, okay, that coming out of this, that's going to be everything.
Well, it was funny because there had been a report, Mark Spears, ESPN, earlier in the day, on draft day, mm-hmm. that said the Thunder are shopping Serge Ibaka. And I tweeted and I said, this is the real X factor in OKC's offseason.
Right.
Obviously, Durant, whether he stays or leaves, is the big storyline. But this is the X factor, right? Serge's role has obviously been marginalized the last few years. They tried to turn him into something of a stretch four, which he's not. Much more effective on the inside when he can pound around, get rebounds, and play around the rim. However, they've got this Steven Adams kid who's really developed into a player.
Oh, he's great.
He's a real, I mean, you know, when I told my girl that this kid was 22, she looked at me and thought I was taking crazy pills, okay?
Well, we've talked many times about me and the beard making me look like a 40-year-old man. So, in his case, I completely understand.
Okay. So, Steven Adams.
We've told my OK Cupid story on here quite a few times.
Oh, boy. Okay. We're going to have to talk about that one off the air. Okay.
Fair enough.
So, Steven Adams, right? You got him on the inside. You've got big money already invested into Enes Kanter. Okay, you're probably not going to pay Serge Ibaka next offseason when his contract's set to expire because you've got already Russell Westbrook coming into free agency in 2017.
Real quick, do you like Enes Kanter more than Serge?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But they've already invested the money the Kanter. Kanter is 4 years and about $70 million.
Jesus.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. They've invested significantly into
Kanter. Man, can't kick him out of the bed for eating crackers.
Yeah, no, you definitely cannot. Okay. So you've got a situation where if you kept Ibaka, you could potentially have Durant, Westbrook, and Ibaka all hitting free agency at the same time. You don't want to put yourself in that position if you're Sam Presti, right? There's no way you want to do that. So he looked at Serge Ibaka and said, what could I get for Ibaka, right? I'm sure there were teams that were offering a pick and maybe some salary filler. And Orlando comes out of here out of nowhere and they say, hey, we're going to give you not just a lottery pick in Arvydas Sabonis' son. That's how he'll be called on this show, to respect the big dog, okay? You've got Ersan Ilyasova, who fits as a stretch four replacement for 1 year on an expiring contract, no less. So he could become a trade chip.
I once won an NBA 2K championship with Ersan Ilyasova. Had a stacked team, except for him.
That is not something to be proud of.
Made all the threes, finals MVP.
Not something to be proud of.
He's a beast. Okay. From beyond the arc.
The Turkish Thunder from down under. Ersan Ilyasova.
Okay. Quigley down under.
Then you've got Victor Oladipo.
Tom Selleck.
By the way, Oladipo.
I love him.
A two-way guard. Is he a little undersized? Probably.
Can defend. He can defend, though. He
a two-way, a true two-way player. Hey, man, under team control.
He's got arms. He's got arm like you like.
Love it. Him and Russell Westbrook in the same backcourt. I would have made that trade, Oladipo for Ibaka straight up. I would have made that trade.
Right.
Okay? The fact that you're giving me the other stuff in, great. That's a bonus.
Now they got a guy who could go on the perimeter and shoot threes.
In a worst
case... Ilyasova's like 7 feet tall.
In a worst case scenario, Durant leaves. Worst case scenario. Okay? If he, let's say, worst case scenario plays out and he goes to Golden State, for the Thunder's perspective. Can the Thunder now come in, sign Harrison Barnes, and have a team of Westbrook, Oladipo, Harrison Barnes, Steven Adams, and his Cantor? You're going to tell me that's still not a very good team? That's still a very good team. Right?
0-for-8, Harrison Barnes, coming on in.
Obviously, he's not Kevin Durant, but Sam Presti has put this organization in a position to say, hey, God forbid we lose our best player, our franchise star, we can still carry on as we're currently constructed. We don't have to go into the free agency market and scratch our heads and say, we need a replacement right now. We've got Oladipo. Harrison Barnes would be great, but if we can't get him, we can't get him. Okay, there's no forced action.
Where is Harrison Barnes going? Let's say Kevin Durant stays. Is he definitely not re-signing with Golden State?
I don't know how much money Golden State will be comfortable investing into him. Because there's going to be one of those...
You think that's the trouble? Because you're like, who are they going to get to replace him since Iguodala's so old?
If you're a team like Sacramento, and you shop Rudy Gay and you trade him, you go look at Harrison Barnes and say, hey, you might be worth a max deal to come be the man here next to DeMarcus. If you're a team like Charlotte, okay, and Nicholas Batum decides to leave you in free agency, you need that player on the wing again, right? You're going to come in and say, hey, Harrison Barnes, here's your role for you. Under Michael Jordan, you went to North Carolina for college. Pretty good sales pitch, right?
Bring back Sean May.
So, maybe Raymond Felton could join him.
And Rashad McCants.
Wow. Okay.
I loved Rashad May. Man, talk about guy. I would have taken Rashad McCants over Kevin Durant, and I'm a fool for doing it because I didn't see it coming.
I just want
you said, who would be the better player in 5 years? I go, Rashad McCants.
I just want you people to know that this guy is telling me this with a straight face. He is absolutely dead serious. He could not be more stern in his expression or more powerful in his articulation
of this stance. I loved Rashad McCants like a brother.
Long lost
brother. It's like we built a church together. Made me want to sing.
Once you start hearing the baritone, that's how you know it's getting real serious, folks.
By the way, we passed an hour, so if you want to wrap this thing up, we can.
Okay, so draft grades. We'll wrap this up. Draft grades. I'm thinking, on the overall, okay, it's tough for me to do winners and losers because you never know what the player's going to become. But on paper, winners and losers, you got to like what the Lakers did, okay? I don't like what the Celtics did at all.
They lost.
I don't like what the Celtics did at all. They made 6 picks, several reaches. They got a couple good values in second rounds. But Jaylen Brown, he's there at 5. He's there at 7. Trade down. Okay, make a deal with that third overall pick. You need more than just pieces at this point. So I don't like what the Celtics did.
You think it was a real somber back room? All the GMs were just sitting there like, let's get this over with?
I don't. I think there was a lot of activity. But, you know, when push comes to shove, people are hesitant to put all their chips in the pot, if you know what I'm saying. Okay?
I'm dumb. I go all in every time.
Milwaukee.
All in Maxwell.
Milwaukee. Thon Maker, 10th overall. What are you doing? That player's there at 25, 30, maybe
was
in the
that,
second
Was
round.
That them trying to get rid of Greg Monroe and they were like, just get somebody?
I don't
just
think.
Just get a warm body.
I don't think so because you can't play John Henson at center. He's not strong enough. Not thick enough.
I like John Henson.
I like him too. I hope he gets more playing time, but he's not a center.
He's okay? Like 6'11", isn't he?
That's fine. So is Giannis. He's not a center either.
Oh, yeah, I love Giannis. He's too fast.
Okay. So you're not going to trade Greg Monroe and say, hey, we're going to start Thon Maker right now. No way. That does not happen, right?
Start Jabari.
He already starts. Not at center.
Start somebody.
Okay.
You could play John Henson at center.
You could, but it would not be a pretty thing.
Yeah, you know, just run the ball. Run it through Jabari.
They could re-sign Larry Sanders.
Where is Larry Sanders? Is he living in a car somewhere?
No, he's actually doing quite well for himself.
Oh, good.
I actually saw him recently before I moved, skateboarding down my old street with a nice-looking husky dog.
With the same haircut as him?
No.
Just
no.
Like Brian
not,
Grant?
This was not the Brian Grant story 2.0. No. But he actually was skateboarding with a nice little husky dog. Yeah. And I also saw him a couple months before that driving a sick Ferrari.
Good for him.
That was definitely sponsored by Bagel Bites, by the way.
When you have pizza on a bagel, you can have pizza anytime.
In the morning, in the evening, you can have pizza at supper time.
We gotta bring back supper. Hey,
what meal are you going to eat?
Ethan,
going to eat supper.
Ethan, you want to go get some supper with me?
I'm not sure. Is that like a 3 o'clock early bird special?
I'm never saying dinner again.
Are we going for frozen yogurt afterward? Are we going to be done by 6 o'clock? Am I going to be in my pajamas by 7? Am I going to be ready for work tomorrow?
No more dinner. Dinner's banned. You're not allowed to say dinner ever again. Supper now.
I feel like supper should be eaten with a spoon.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of soup.
But what if you have like meatloaf?
Supper. Soup. Yeah, you got it. You could eat meatloaf with a spoon. It's very tender.
A good scoop meatloaf has
you don't
a
even
nice,
have to cut meatloaf.
A nice meatloaf has a nice outer crust but is nice and tender on the inside.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a nice like glazed caramel, cinnamon, not cinnamon.
Anybody else you want to talk about, goofball?
Just meatloaf, not the rock star, but the actual.
How did Toronto do?
I think they took Bismack Biyombo's potential replacement.
Who?
At number 9, Jakob. The big Jakob.
Oh, that guy? Okay.
Yeah, that guy.
Interesting.
That big white guy? That guy.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to want to pay Biz $10+ million a year. And I think if he has
an opportunity... I wouldn't want to either.
And if he has an opportunity to go be a starter somewhere and make millions and millions of dollars, why wouldn't you want to do that if you were him?
Sure.
So we'll see. Overall, I just think that the draft really... It lacked the... activity
certain,
it has had
it lacked a certain je ne sais quoi.
It lacked a certain je ne sais quoi. And, you know, you had a lot of activity before the draft, too. You had the Teague trade. You had the Thaddeus Young trade. You had the Derrick Rose trade. So a lot of the big dominoes fell before draft night even came down.
I didn't even get to talk about him, did I? I didn't get to say my goodbyes. Save it for another time.
Sounds good.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed the bagel bites right here. Yes, we are having them as we record.
As many as you want.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Get some breakfast bagel bites tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, so on behalf of Big Time Ethan Nora, you want to tell them where they can check out your work?
Primetime E, you can go to www.rotoworld.com. Click on over to that NBA section. We're there. We're there for you. We cater to your needs.
You got a real beautiful picture of yourself, don't you?
Real nice.
Real handsome.
Freshly clean, shaven head.
Mm-hmm.
Got my glasses on. Got my writing pose ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a window into my living room, everybody. Come join the party.
Me? You can't see a picture of me. I'm too ugly. But on behalf of Primetime E, this is Jeff Maxwell, a.k.a. Maxwell Stevens, a.k.a. Jack Basketball. Listen to boozeandbasketball.com, the best of both worlds. Make sure you check out boozeandbasketball.com for all your booze and basketball needs. And I will leave you with the same way we always leave, with a solid mahalo.